everyone, Back Row Baptist. We're going to get started. Back with us again tonight is Dr. Roxy Reefkohl-Segrist. She has a PhD in counselor education. Is that close enough?
Close enough.
Okay. She's an LPC supervisor. She owns Renewing Hope Counseling Center on the west side of town. She came and talked to us about contracts. And tonight she's going to talk to us about cell phones. So I'm kind of excited about this. I have a 13-year-old, and I'm trying to decide when it's time to give her a cell phone. So today's not the day. Tomorrow might be that day. So, do you want me to pass those down for you? Candy. She brought candy for you.
Yes.
She's not doing health and wellness.
She's
doing mental health.
That's right. Chocolate mental health. I feel like this is bad. So let me do a. Last time I went around just so I could get an idea of ages of kiddos. Can you guys show me hands? Since we're talking about cell phones, I won't even go to babies. But
there's some
nice
people in here.
Say it again.
There's some little people in here.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Five.
Littles. Five. Okay. And then the rest, like junior high age? Or let's do other elementary age? Junior high? Going to be high school?
Yeah.
Okay. College? Okay. All right. So I want to make this just very, I'm going to casual. I'm not doing stuff up here, because I want this to be very interactive with you guys, okay? I want you to just, and the truth is, last time I was here, you guys have a whole lot of knowledge already, so I would love feedback from you so that we can all just share our ideas and so forth as we go along, okay? So when I was here last time, how many of you were here last time when I did the contract stuff? Okay, fantastic. Okay, so I'm a contract person, and I believe that in all the research and the stuff that I've read and studied and also done with my own child, who's now 21, keeping a contract of things like, what is it that we, what am I trying to teach my child? Last time I talked a lot about how you break that down, and the first step of that is basically deciding, what is it that you're trying to teach? Responsibility, integrity, respect, and from that, you break it down, and you come up with, well, what does that mean? How would you teach that? What would a rule look like that would match up with something like that? And then from that, if it's not followed, of course, we have consequences. And then, of course, we have rewards. So all of that is stuff we've all seen and heard and known. But I like attaching it to really what it is that you value and that you're trying to teach your child. So from those contracts, there's lots. Again, you could lump things in into that. But one of them had to do with either responsibility, good decision-making, or respect. We started talking about cell phones and social media. And so that's why we kind of bridged off, and they were like, we know this is something else we really need to talk about specifically. So, and we'll get to it in a minute about contracts, because you can do a specific contract too for social media. But back to that, the reason I like the contract system is because it keeps things in your mind. Okay, these are what we're trying, the goals we're trying to reach and teach, and it keeps you from having to do the arguing thing, right? Here's what this is what we do in this household, here's what we don't do, and when it's broken, this is what happens, but we don't have to talk about it, or argue about it. This is just what happens. Again, it's different for every age, and how you implement, sometimes different for different children, because our children have different personality types, we talked about that. But the same thing with cell phone use, and as you go through, there really should be something that your kids know that this is this is what you're agreeing to, and so forth. So we'll talk about that. So before we do that, though, let's look at this first page here. Just a couple facts. I just put a couple things down on there. first one says, tweens spend less time outside than prisoners. Yeah. Number two, the average age for a child to get their first smartphone is 10.3 years and falling. We're going to talk about that in a minute. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention reports that children ages 8 to 10 spend an average of 6 hours per day in front of a screen. 11 to 14 spend an average of 9 hours per day. Youth ages 15 to 18 spend an average of 7.5 hours per day in front of a screen. The next one says 43% of teens admit to texting and driving. 61% report that their friends text and drive. I thought that was humorous, right? I don't do it, but she does. And the other one says over half of kids, 10 to 17, post some sort of risky comment or a photo online. So it's important that we put some things into place to help our kids be responsible. Just right here, I added a bunch of different resources, and as we're going through, I'll tell you a little bit more about each one of those. But these are some that I've looked at that I have, especially these books that are really good. So let's make this interactive. I want you guys to go to the next page, and let's look at that first question. And I'm going to have you put your answer and then talk amongst your table. Number one, what is the right age do you think that you should give your child a cell phone?
Smartphone.
Oh, good question. Very good question. So break that down. Do you think, if you think cell phone a certain age, smartphone a certain age, then write that down and talk about it.
Behavior dependent and activity dependent, then probably when they get into the middle part, the upper junior high.
Yeah.
they're doing basketball or something like that, or baseball, like they get older, I don't mind them having it for after school for practice or things like that. But there's no need, there's no justification.
Do you have a cell phone?
Okay.
Either. The smartphone is kind of, restrictions wise, no, but it's kind of irrelevant to me which type of phone, because a lot of times you can't even get, there's not that many types of flip phones left. Most of them are some type of smartphone or semi-smartphone. Mm-hmm. But I'm not necessarily upset about that with restrictions. But what I will say is if they don't have a need for it, they don't need to have it.
Okay. Other thoughts?
I have a couple. I'm going to just throw a bunch of stuff out there.
Please do.
So I have kids that have a father that I would prefer not to be in communication with.
Mm-hmm.
And that is how they communicate with him. Mm-hmm. Also, I got my son in middle school in sixth grade a brick. He called it a taser. It looked like a brick phone, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, no smartphone. This is all I need to do is have communication with you of when practice gets out so I can pick you up. Problem is that because it's not a smartphone, you can't have controls on it. And people were able to text him even photos, and I wasn't able to monitor that.
Mm-hmm.
So it was actually more of a nightmare than it was helpful. So then, because you don't think about that, you don't think about like, oh, it's they're not as simple as you think they are. It's harder to monitor a non-smartphone,
yes.
I found. So then I gave them the old iPhone, because, again, they want to FaceTime a person that I court-ordered have a protection against.
Mm-hmm.
So it is helpful for that purpose.
Yeah.
However, Apple has not as much restrictions, capabilities, I've found, as,
mm-hmm.
like, Androids.
Okay.
So the other problem is that when they get to middle school and high school is there's all these communications of like, hey, let's meet up at the park and throw a baseball. I mean, my kids still do those,
mm-hmm.
those things.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm working, or I have other kids doing other things, and so then I've got to somehow, when it was all coming through me, relay it to them so that they could have a social life, because I want them to have a social
mm-hmm.
life. So then you've got a problem where all these kids have this access to be social with each other, but I put a barrier between them if I don't give them access to easy socializing with their friends.
Mm-hmm.
So those are all of my issues.
Yes. Yes. It sounds like you've managed them.
But I don't
well.
Like them having an iPhone,
mm-hmm.
because I don't feel like I can monitor, even though we've set the restrictions to where now you can do with an iPhone where only PG content goes through, you have to approve every app, etc. With an Android, I've heard that you can actually receive text as they are receiving text.
That's correct.
Which is what I want to do, because he's a 14-year-old boy and they make really stupid decisions sometimes. You know?
I agree with that.
And he is smarter than me.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to technology.
Yeah.
When it comes to technology.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So I found out he had Snapchat because his sister told on him. Because he knew how to bypass
mm-hmm.
the control.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
mm-hmm.
But then again, mm-hmm. heaven help me if he doesn't have communication with multiple people. Because I can't keep up with all of them. So.
I hear you.
I'm just going to throw that out as a parent.
No, it's good. And all of those things, I'm hoping that it sounds like you're managing them well. And I want you to know we're gonna try to cover a lot of those things that you just mentioned. And let me preface all of this by saying that I'm not standing up here to tell you guys that there's an exact right and an exact wrong, because there's not, right? I mean, this is gray area stuff, which is why I want this to be so interactive. But I will share with you some of the things that, you know, the doctors, the researchers, the psychologists, you know, that they say about all this. And some of that has to do with the studies and the things that they've done related to brain development, right? What can a child at what age what can they handle? What can they process? What can't they process, right? And so mixed with the idea, and one of the answers is, not every kid is at the same maturity level or responsibility level or trust level or, you know, and you can have two kids in the same family that are same age, two different kids, right? We know that. So there's not a black and white answer here, okay? But I will tell you that most of the research that's been done says that by the time, and again, with all these other stipulations and things we're talking about, and again, I know that you have other circumstances, and you have kids that, you know, we have divided families, and we have kids going to activities, and we have all these other things, but what they say is eighth grade. That's the usually the cutoff. I mean, the cutoff, what they say is the time that they're trying to push parents and keep pushing parents. There's actually even a site, I put it on there, on one of the things, that they're trying to get every parent involved to say, I'll join, I promise, I'll jump on this train, eighth grade, no lower, eighth grade. Because we know that once we're not doing that and everybody is now 9 years old and has a cell phone, then, well, everybody's doing it, right? So we're trying to do, well, the everybody's doing it, but not till eighth grade. So, and again, I get the circumstantial things and the things we talked about, the difference between cell phones and smartphones. And now, because kids are so smart, they can figure things out, and they send things, and they do things. And so the idea is that, you know, again, if there's a need, I love that you said that, if there's a need, then, you know, you have to do what you have to do. But just know that you have to monitor even more because they don't have the processing skills to be able to do what they need to make a decision like a child that's older, 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 older. Does that make sense?
Are they saying eighth for a smartphone or for a cell phone?
Smartphone.
A smartphone.
Yeah. Okay, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. But again, that's what you'll see across the board, typically, of what you know, what's out there and what they're trying to push for and so forth. So, all good examples. Okay, number two, answer that one and talk about it. How much time a day is okay for your child to have screen time?
Is that applied to tablets also?
Everything, screen time. Let's do all screen time. Yes. Let's lump it all in.
You know how to talk to us? I was like, that's it. I think she got it.
Well, I was thinking
get done during the week, you know, and so forth. But so out there, the theorists, the research say 1 to 2 hours. And any more than that, then now you're just pushing towards, which is this other part of this addiction, right? Because that's what it is, okay? Now, we in our DSM, we don't have anything to yet at this point. It's coming in order to diagnose, but it's coming. And we do have the video gaming. The gaming is there, okay? So,
what is that
gaming addiction?
Oh,
mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, so just know that it's there. And what we're trying to do is keep that from happening. And there's all these really cool studies and things that are out there. Again, I'm not going to bore you with that. JT, you would love that. If I came and showed the brain and showed you all these different things, it's showing what's happening. Okay, once you start getting addicted, it'll do the same thing to your brain as if you're on cocaine. Okay, and the good news is it's reversible. Okay, unlike sometimes cocaine is, but the truth is that it really does. And there are lots of studies out there that show that once you get addicted to all this, the screens, the gaming, et cetera, I mean, it's changing your brain, okay? So that's another reason why we want to do that. I mean, keep them off, but also the idea of all the other things that they're missing out on, right, or can be, and maybe just even learning how to communicate with someone, right? So face-to-face. So 1 to 2, but again, it all depends. Okay, it depends on, like I said, age, all the other things that you guys mentioned. Okay, go to number 3. Is it okay to use a phone as a reward or as a consequence? Answer and talk about it.
Yes. Yes. Okay. 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 Okay.
Oh no!
Oh, it's so true. I don't like having like indigestion.
Okay, what did you guys say? Reward?
No.
No. Why not a reward?
If they want to mess up like in their parenting contract, they can lose it like a consequence, and they can gain
for
it
sure.
Back like a reward.
Consequence, so. Absolutely. I'll just tell you that right out of the gate, right? And we all saw that in when we talked about contracts before, because the idea is that when you broke a rule, then when you're considered, you know, grounded or call it whatever you want to, then you don't get all these extras. Right, you're not having all these other things and these extra things, and that would include the phone or, you know, going to the mall or whatever. Right? I mean, those things just stop for that period of time. So, but if you reward with it, what they're saying and what's out there, most of the research is saying that then, you know, that it's just what you described, that now it's you did good and then you're, you know, and then you can have this. And I see it all the time, and I get it. I have a nephew that's 3 and a half. And it's, oh, good job, and then here's your tablet, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we want to try to stay away from that. Don't tell my sister-in-law.
You don't want to make it a reward because you kind of need them to have it as well.
Absolutely. And the truth is, and if you think about it, how it's viewed, it's supposed to be, I mean, it's a necessity at some point, right? I mean, this is how we communicate, and as adults, and so the idea is it's what we have, right? What we have to have. Good. Okay, number 4. Why would we track their conversations? And what about privacy? And how can I track what my child is seeing or doing? Talk about it.
Well, first of all,
So they don't go away.
I mean, all these things are out there, right? And so you need to be seen. And the thing is this. I know you guys have great kids. There are people on the other side. It's kind of like when you're out there driving. You're a good driver. That doesn't mean everybody's a good driver, right? So we need to be doing that because we don't know what's coming on the other end, right? And, again, you have this amazing kiddo. And again, even with the bullying, and I've seen it specifically where it's going on, and then your child is not even speaking up about it, right? And that's just, you can even use that example, not necessarily that they're doing the other things on the other side. So how do we track? We talked a little bit about that, okay? There are all these, there's all this software out there, all these apps. The most popular one that's out there that again, all my play therapists and all my therapists at my office talk about it, it's called, I don't know it, because I didn't, it was around after my child was in the house, but it's called QUSTODIO. QUSTODIO. And that apparently is the number one that's out there, and let me tell you
number
all the things that
what?
It can do. It's software that's on the phone, but let me tell you all the things that it does. So, first of all, it covers everything. It covers texting, web, apps. That's a big one. You can block apps on there. Okay. You can see the text and the stuff coming through.
Is this for an iPhone?
No, it's
just the Android.
That's right.
Yeah.
No, wait. No, I think
it's
iPhone.
Smartphone.
I think it's iPhone. I think that one's iPhone because this is new. Check and see.
Okay.
This is the one that they keep. That they told me at the office because I had to go ask because I don't know what they are. NannyNet is another one.
NetNanny.
That's right.
And
it's
I
another
use that.
One.
I use NetNanny and Teams.
Tell me your thoughts about NetNanny.
So my son goes away to boarding school,
mm-hmm.
and so he had computer issues
mm-hmm.
and changing the way he feels with gaming.
Yeah.
And so that's just part of our contract with him. And so every week I get a report of what he's visited.
Right.
And that doesn't matter where he is. I mean, he's in New Hampshire, and
mm-hmm.
I can see what he does. And then on his phone, we have TeamSafe. And
TeamSafe's
another good one,
mm-hmm.
and that's for iPhone. And so I can look at Snapchat. He has to give me all that information,
mm-hmm.
but I don't care. He
yes.
has to give me all that information.
Right.
So then, and it's become a thing where I don't check all the time, but I check every once in a while because, and just check and see where he is.
Yeah.
So,
that's good.
And I like NetNanny, and we've also used Covenant Eye,
mm-hmm.
and that's
yeah,
a good
Covenant
one
Eye.
Also. So
yeah.
those three are what
and,
we
and,
use.
And like she said up here, though, some of them don't work for certain phone types.
Right.
So, will you look that one up?
We just downloaded it for the iPhone.
Okay, it does?
Yeah.
It's on there? Okay. It is, iPhone.
And like NetNanny, I can cut the computer off in the camera. I mean, you can put time period, you can do all kinds of levels of
yes. And you can, the main thing, too, that she said, you can just run a report. So if you don't really feel like that you need to be monitored, you know, all the time, every second, child's pretty trustworthy, but you just want to check in every once in a while, you just run a report for that. be able to scan through it. Okay? But yes, please put that stuff on your kids, on your child phone.
And there's no way they can get rid of it.
No.
Sure. Okay.
Well, you'll know, because then you won't be able to see it.
Okay.
Don't let them learn your favorite passwords, because then they can just hack in anything you do.
Right. Yeah. They're so smart.
You need to be good about your passwords.
It sends me an email password that sends me a note that says no activity on ER's computer. So it'll send me a thing that says he hasn't logged in. Well, I know he has a computer and he's at for school, so he's done something. And so that's happened. Mm-hmm. And so then the conversation is, this is what I noticed. This is the consequence. You can use a computer at school and feel like a dork because everybody else has a computer, or you can be responsible. And so that's what we did. So it does tell you if they do something. That nanny does. It gives you a little, sends you an email and says,
so
he's not on.
So my son had, I have TeenSafe, and my son got Snapchat. And I called him out on it, and he told me how he ended up getting it. Was I had approved it for myself in the App Store, and so somehow that he was able to bypass it and get it on his phone. But I mean, he told me how he did it, so it's like, well, okay, there was a loophole with it.
Did you log in on your account?
No, he had his own account that he had created, you know, on someone else's phone or computer or whatever, and that's how he was smart to do that.
Yeah, and there's, I think that's another good point, is that the truth is we're not, I mean, this idea that, and I don't want you guys, I want you looking and I want you to be aware and I want you to have these things in place, but the idea is, it's going to come to the light. Things will come up and they'll come out, and this idea that you have to now make this a second job to sit and look at every single thing, you don't have to do that. Don't do that, okay? But be aware, and again, knowing in the age level, but also your child, right, of where they are, and 14-year-old boy, that's, you know, it's going to be different maybe than, you know, I don't know, 17-year-old, 18-year-old, maybe not. Not mine. So the idea, though, is not to just, like I said, to give you something to extra to do 24/7. It's so that you'll go and check in periodically. When you do, then you have those conversations, and they'll know that that's what you're going to be doing. Okay, moving on to, are there any non-negotiables when it comes to a cell phone, smartphone. Talk about that, please. Any non-negotiables, things that you're going to say, you won't do this, we won't have this, talk about that.
Snapchat. Well, I also don't have
you will not
have the dinner table anywhere. At a restaurant where they can, I guess, like my husband and I, or people with my parents, and I'm like, hey, we're taking longer, they're not eating, they're ready to go, here's a video, you know? But beyond that, now I'm like, no,
okay, y'all want to throw some out? What did y'all come up with? Dinner time, eating, not having the phone out during dinner time. What else? Bedtime. Where do you put them? Do you let them take the phones to their room?
Common areas.
Never, ever, ever, never.
They need to be where we can.
What was it?
You let them take the phones to their room?
I did. That's tricky as a page.
Wait, what was the question?
Do you ever let them take the phone to their room?
No.
We were just saying that. They can take their home phone back to their room.
With the cord.
Okay. So again, each to your own, but I will just make this one comment about that. Okay? I I am for, again, up to a certain age for sure. Phone downstairs, not at bedtime. They don't have what it takes to not. And even if your child is trying to go to sleep, like mine, because he's like an old man, and he was trying to go to bed, but the phone's dinging all night. We're not having that, okay? Because of what someone else is doing on the even on the other side, right? But here's the thought that I'd like for you to think about, okay? How will your children learn when they go off to college how to manage that appropriately?
That is the $1 million question.
I don't know. I can't control everything.
That's why you're here. Tell us.
So, in my opinion, again, I don't know how research-based this is, but in my opinion, what I've seen in working with young people, that, again, by the time they get to be, again, especially, I mean, not if there's, like, again, break all the rules and all that kind of stuff, a little bit different, right? But then you need to send them to me. But other than that, usually senior year, I would say, okay, you need to start implementing some things to let them practice, okay? Remember last time I told you, they have to practice some things under your roof. That's where you want them to do this so that you can, so they can make the mistake. You know, they were up all night, they fail a test, okay, that was a high school test, you know, we'll get through, you know, whatever that is, right, that you'll get through it, but there needs to be a time for practicing, and you, that way you can reel them in, and you can help them, and guide them, and help them get more responsible in that way. So just think about that, okay, that, and again, each kid is different, but usually by the time they're getting ready to now leave your house, that to go off to college or what have you, that they should get to practice a little bit. Just think about that. Yes,
you mentioned though, like what age? I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I mean, when I was growing up, my first cell phone was until what, 17, 18. Yeah. I mean, like.
Should be their sophomore year of college. So just think about if there were some things that they could practice, again, with all kinds of things like we talked about before, cell phones, dating, all these things, it's better when they get an opportunity to do some of this and see that they can be responsible with it while you're there guiding them, okay? Yes, ma'am.
I have a question about driving and cell phones.
Mm-hmm.
Do, like, people make their kids lock their phone up, like, in the glove box or something, or, like, put it away somewhere? Is that effective in helping them learn?
I think
not use it when they drive.
Absolutely.
What would you recommend on that front? Because that's like one of my big, very
it's
big
a big
concerns.
One. And I've heard all kinds of different ideas and things, and that's one of them. You know, it has to be put away. The problem is, you know, are they putting it away? The idea is, though, you will find out because you will see. And if, I don't know, most of you probably have, I mean, you will have a tracker on your child's, you know, they'll say, hey, I'm going to so-and-so's. And then you look at the, you know, you look at it and you're like,
you're texting
all the whole way there, right? Or you're talking, or whatever that might be, and so I think that's brilliant, and I think that if you can put that into place, and that's a habit that you help your kids start right out of the gate, then it's terrific. Yeah.
There's an app, Life 360. There's an app, and it will give you a driving report and whether or not that person. You have to pay for that upgraded version, but it can tell you whether or not whoever's in your 360 app was using their cell phone while they were driving, and it's Life 360, and it's really awesome because it also tells you their fastest speed on it and how long it took to get, and you can set locations, so we set all of the schools and work, so my kids can see, it dings them, mom left work, oh, she's on her way to pick me up, so that you then don't have to call the person that you're waiting on because you can see them, like, oh, I'm not going to call them or text them because they are driving. And the biggest thing that someone said to me is, like, if you don't want them to do it, they can't see you do it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Number
that's
six.
That's next. Do that. Spot on.
But you know, you use your phone for navigation so much. At least I do, don't you?
I do too.
Yeah, but you can have it stuck
right.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
That's not responding and.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that leads us to the next one. So,
wait, can we go back?
Yes.
Quick? Sorry, the phone in the room up until a certain age, you recommend senior year. Does that mean bedtime only or behind in private room at any time of day?
It's a good question. That's each to your own. I mean, everybody feels differently about that. Here's the thing, and you know this, but I'm going to say it out loud. If they're on their phone in their room, I mean, they'd be doing the same thing on their phone at Chick-fil-A. I mean, it's what I'm saying is what they're doing. And again, if you have a rule, though, that your room is only for sleeping, you know, then that's a rule that you set, and that's what you do. And if you're trying to teach that, again, that's why looking at what it is that you're trying to teach your child. Like, for example, while we don't have, you know, we're going to help them right out of the gate to have good sleep hygiene, then we don't take phones into the room. We don't have a TV in there or whatever that might be. But realistically, as an adult, no phone in the bedroom? No cell phone in your bedroom?
Yeah. No. Right.
Right? I mean, so we're trying to get them prepared and ready for what real life is going to look like and to make choices there, good choices there, make good choices wherever you are.
Okay.
But the sleeping thing, it really, you will get disrupted. I mean, you guys know that. I mean, you know,
but
just
you do
the
think you think that
a
couple of 13-year-old girls have a friend over, that they're more likely to get into mischief in the bedroom, though, right? If they're online together.
Could. Okay. They could. You're right. But they could also do that, like I said, if you drop them at Chick-fil-A.
True.
So,
yeah.
Again, that's where you guys just have to make those decisions. There's not a right or wrong, really, on that.
Hey, Roxanne, mm-hmm. Could you speak, going back to the texting in the car? Mm-hmm. So, somewhere I think I read or heard that our phones have become so habitual, like it's a habit. Like I pick it up and I look at it and I don't even know that I'm doing it the number of times I do. So one time I tried putting my phone in the back seat because it's just a habit. And I was surprised at how hard it was. Not even talking about navigation, but just like my brain is wired.
Oh,
so
for
I'm
sure.
Wondering, like Angela's question, like, is that important for us to teach them, like this is going to be a habit, and so you do, not as a restrictor or a whatever as much. Like another thing I heard, I think it was when Kristen Ivey came and talked to us, I think, about like, don't be afraid of this world. We shouldn't be afraid of it, but live into it kind of the same way. Think about what it is in the real world too. So she like talked about a cell phone being the same as a playground. And the opportunity to play and interact and learn social skills and learn these things that you need to know, but it's different. And so, like, we can't control everything
right.
as much as we want to.
Right.
But that's coming out of fear mm-hmm. as a parent and what our child is doing versus helping them learn these skills. Like, this phone is going to do things to you that you don't even know. You're not old enough.
Absolutely.
I might not even be old enough to understand it.
Yeah, we just don't
think
about that.
And so some of these things
right.
aren't because I don't trust you. It's because my job is to
help you better at it,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And that, which leads us into the other thing, and that all has all to do with what you model. And if you guys are modeling that, the good decision-making on that, and they see you put the phone in the glove compartment or wherever that is when we get ready to take off, then, you know, that's modeling it. And that's something that you know, your child can pick up on and see that this is how we stay healthy. That's a healthy boundary to do, right? What other modeling things do you know that you catch yourself doing that you really wouldn't want your child doing with the phone?
Looking at it when I walk by it in the kitchen.
Yeah.
My three-year-old called me out on it today.
Right.
Why are you looking at your phone? I was just thinking, Daddy texted me back.
Yeah. Yeah, there's actually a meme of a child sitting there, and the two parents are on their cell phones, and it says, and the meme is, I wish I was a cell phone so I could be held this much.
Uh-huh.
Real deal. Sorry.
No.
Yeah.
It's not funny at all.
Yeah. But it's, yeah, real. Yes.
I agree with you, but a friend of mine made a really good point a while back. She said, like, you know, that we pay so much attention to our cell phones, but, like, when our parents were our age, for them it was the newspaper. It's like,
right.
Don't bother me. I'm reading my newspaper
right,
right.
now. Right. Or watching my favorite show or whatever.
Right,
that be,
right.
right. Yeah.
I like what the Marissa back was. Like, when you look into your phone, tell your kids what you're doing. Like, okay, sorry, baby, I'm going to look at this recipe real quick. Let me just see.
I do that.
Yeah.
I
think
it's
really good idea.
Because
like,
it's
not
like,
screwing
even
around.
If you're texting or something, you're like, wait, let me respond. It usually
yeah.
is her. So it's usually just messy or whatever. And then they're like, oh, okay. Then they understand what you're doing. You're not just sitting there looking at Facebook. And
right.
if they do call me out, I'm like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm on Facebook. And I should
go I think
that's what I do, but that's not.
No, I think that's brilliant. And I think that idea of speaking about it is good. You're modeling, you know, I recognize this, or this is what I'm doing, or so forth.
Or
so,
I try
what
and
else?
Wait until the evening to do things on my phone that I want to do that would totally take my attention away in bed. You know, and so, I know you're not supposed to take from bed, but I don't like to read, and I don't like, you know, I don't watch TV. Like, that's kind of my decompression.
Sure.
And so, I'll wait, maybe not text messages, but other things that I enjoy doing on there. And just so that I'm not doing it, because I really don't like doing it in front of them.
Yeah.
Because then it's like, I'm on the phone.
It's excellent.
Well,
good.
I think you're modeling how to respond when someone gives you some constructive feedback. So by them seeing you not respond with defensiveness or like, whatever, it's my phone, you're modeling for them later when you're like, hey, mom's trying to get your attention. Why don't you put that down? Like, this is how we do in this family.
You got it. That's perfect. Yes, yes, yes. Okay. Number 7, we kind of talked about this. What are some ways that kids are smarter than you related to social media and smartphones?
Every way.
And all of the problems. Yes. So, some of these things we already discussed, but they get all of this, the same type of things. You take the phone away. They use iPods. You guys know that, right? You can use all kinds of things in order to get things, messaging, so forth. So there's other devices that they can get. Of course, they can just go borrow someone else's phone and get on it and so forth, as well as the hiding of things. Okay, and you won't know because they hide them in other things, right? So Snapchat is actually put in, I don't know, give me another app that would be something that you would be okay with.
A Bible reading app.
There you go, a Bible reading app.
Oh my God,
it is. Your Holy Bible app, okay? And so, but you can, and they can be hidden inside all of these different things. Now, if you have the software on the phones, then you're going to see. It's going to come through. So just be aware of that. Other questions or comments?
I didn't know.
Yeah.
Can you teach us
how to do it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, not like in a shaky way.
Right,
I'm
right.
I'm so curious because I've never heard of that.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, I'm going to tell you, it's only because I've seen teenagers, or I have, and they tell me everything. So.
So the last 2 years, we went to youth camp, like, very, get to take their cell phones on the plane, that's how it works, but then when we get to camp, you have, everybody forks over their phones, and you get them for a little bit every day during free time. You can choose to use it during free time, or go out into the beautiful mountains and do something, or just there. But everybody has to give up their phones for most of the day. And 2 out of the last 3 years, we caught kids who, like, snuck in an old burner phone and turned that in, you know, like, and these are our awesome kids. Or they snuck in a laptop, or they snuck in an iPad. They're like,
yeah. But that's what we were talking about, the addiction, right? Because that's what it is. I cannot be away from
my people.
My people.
It is their connection to their people.
That's right. Yes.
Okay. Let me bounce something off you. Mm-hmm. This makes sense. My way with we don't have a set time we watch TV. There is no time. Because in my mind, and then they eventually see that I have control over it. So there is no 4 o'clock every day we watch TV. No, now, so, because they always ask. They just ask. And it's always a no. And even grown, I mean, not always, but it could be no. And they're usually like, okay. Like, there's no real whining and cranking about it. Now, there is occasionally, but anyway. But me growing up, we didn't have that either. I didn't get to watch TV a lot. And when I got older, kind of like with phones, like, it kind of was more relaxed because we were a little bit more mature and responsible. And so growing up, so now, even, you know, when I was older, I chose to do other things besides screen time. And I felt like that helped with it because I felt like there were other things I could be doing besides doing this. Does that make sense?
Complete sense.
Because that's even how my mom was raised. Mm-hmm. They didn't get to watch TV barely at all. Mm-hmm. And to this day, she can't barely watch it.
Right, which I think is a really good point. Because the idea is that if if it's not your norm,
yes,
then you're not missing out. You don't know that you are, right? Exactly. I mean, it's kind of like this idea of, well, this is just how we do it. This is what we do.
Yeah.
And if you start creating that in your household, like, or how we grew up in our households, then it's just your norm. No?
Yeah.
You're not gonna, that's not something we're going to do. So that does make sense in my head. It does.
You know, in our living situation right now, sometimes they get to probably watch a little bit more than they would normally, but mm-hmm. even when I say no, it's usually like, it's just, I just usually get like an, oh man, like there's no kicking and screaming or anything like that. But,
okay. Absolutely. Yes.
So, I have a question too about, my daughter is 13, and one of the things that she said to me is that there's a good division between, or not a good division, but a clear division between kids who have cell phones, like they tend to be more friends with each other because they stay in contact with each other on their cell phone. Mm-hmm. And then the kids who don't, so it's like this dividing sort of like, well, we're the nerds with no cell phone, so we only see each other like when we're at school or when we're at church or whatever. These kids stay in touch through the whole week. They don't just see each other once or twice a week. So they form a group that we feel left and, you know, like feel left out of sometimes. Like, so I'm kind of at a loss sometimes of how to kind of coach her through that, because I'm like, I'm not getting the cell phone just because you feel socially left out. There's lots of reasons for that that go beyond just maybe the cell phone usage is a
you bet. And I think that's part of this teachable moment, right, of this idea, because aren't we trying to teach our kids that we don't just do things because everybody else does it? So again, I get that idea, right, because in your mind you're like, ugh, so my child's not, you know, not get, might get left out of these certain
things.
She's
never gonna have friends.
Right.
No one's ever gonna wanna have her to any parties. And it might cripple her for life with her socially limited.
I don't think so. I think when she is older and she is out, she will realize that this is not it. And those people are losers.
I don't even know about that.
They play people with games 24/7. I just had that on the Jesus meeting with my son. We don't even have video games. Mm-hmm. He was playing at the Y and he was pouting about it. Mm-hmm. They only let them do it for like an hour, like 4 hours out of the whole time. And they're the chugger. Anyway, so.
He's not there for 4 hours.
No, I'm saying like they have like incremental times that they do it. They turn it off. It's not all day. But still, it's like, I'm like, these people, it's a problem.
Yeah.
It ruins relationships. It ruins friendships. Mm-hmm. It ruins marriages.
It ruins communications. It's a thing that I don't like very much. I told my kids, like, when they had it, and they don't have theirs now because the babysitting situation changed. I don't have to worry about them being unsupervised. But they don't have a phone now because of that. And it's like, if you want to go talk to your friend and she's in the apartment complex, get your happy butt up off your
bottom.
You. Walk down and go talk to your friend, because you might want to learn how to talk face-to-face to somebody. It could be a useful tool someday. Because, you know, do still have to do that occasionally.
Well, I wonder how much of it is she's blaming the phone situation, but it's really just a personality. Like, you don't get along with everybody. You're not always going to be as close with everyone in the group, and you're looking at it as a phone thing, but... You know, they might not like you any better or have any more better connection with you if you have phones. I don't want to say that to my mom.
Also,
that's a
kind
of work for your personality.
To learn how to communicate.
Well, and I also think that I think more problems happen in groups. To me, from what I've seen, and from what my dad is the principal of a high school, I mean, he deals with, I mean, then these kids, I mean, they got everything.
So I think there's
and it's a lot with girls. I mean, especially with girls.
Girls
can.
I think there's a balance here, though.
I think there is. I don't think phones are bad. I don't think.
Well, so here's the thing, right?
Lasers, I'm sorry.
There's pros and cons to this stuff.
Definitely.
Right, and they're living in a world that we didn't live in. Mm-hmm. And like, yes, there are bad things about. But honestly, I keep track of my family much better with texting and other things. Like mm-hmm. I know where everyone is, and I keep up with friends because there are good connected things about this. And I just think we have to be careful in vilifying the technology, because technology is adding to it just as much as it's taking away.
It's a tool, but if it's not used correctly, it does.
And I think that's where we want
to. True, and that's it. And so then jump down to the last one, because that one is, you know, why should we allow them? And I think. What I talked about earlier is so that they get to practice, right? Learn responsibility. Because what you're speaking about is this idea of this is it. This is where we are, and it's and we're going to keep moving in that direction. So how do you help your child understand and learn healthy boundaries, balance, okay, how we balance things and so forth is you get them, you have to practice. But we also know there's a lot of benefit, what you just described, of being able to have it and being able to shoot a quick text and know that your kid is needing to be picked up or whatever that might be easily.
Yeah, and in 3 or 4 years, we're all going to be having a weird conversation about how our kids interact with robots. Like, it's,
right.
And if you're not already,
right.
If you all have Alexas in your house, like, mm-hmm. you're already doing it, you just don't realize there's an issue yet. So, I mean...
And Steve, you're trying to reduce the fear. Reducing the fear. Being comfortable with the playground.
They had a segment on the Today Show not too long ago, and they had all these, they don't call them millennials, the ones after millennials. I don't know what they're called, but they're saying they've never known a world without cell phones. And they just don't know it. But they were saying how much smarter they are than us, how they process things differently than us, how they learn differently than us, and how they're at much more of an advantage, and how their world is going to be different, how they just interact so quickly and fast. And so all these companies are hiring these 20, 19-year-olds because they know that they know how to reach massive amounts of people, you know, in such a quick time. There's not a community anymore. There's like a world.
Right.
People are communicating all over the world like that, and they're like, just get ready. Like,
and that is another
worse.
Part. I'm glad
yes.
you said that, because that is another part of this that has to do with the idea of that is the direction we're going with learning. And we talked about, you know, the educational piece. And so, you know, for us to be able to get on and be able to find answers to certain things, learn certain things in that manner, again, we're not taking away from any of that because that's all positive pieces of this, right? It's just the part that we want to make sure that we're doing is, again, teaching them healthiness, what that looks like, balance. Because the idea is if you can't put your phone down, that's a problem, ever. If you can't have a conversation with someone, that's a problem. These are the things where we're headed and where we're going and what we're trying to make sure that our kids can be able to do as adults, even though... in this age group, that's all they're, you know, they're still moving in that direction of more and more technology, but they still have to be able to do those specific things to be their healthiest, best self, right? So, yes, pros and cons, and that's why I added that one on there, because I want you guys to be able to see that, but also knowing that kids, we're talking about kids now, they need to learn, but they don't know. They don't know what balance looks like. They won't know that they should put their phone down or how to have a conversation with someone unless they have to practice it, or you guide them or you teach them, right? So that's what this is about. Or, hey, by the way, today I'm going to go take a walk and I'm not going to take my phone with me, or whatever that might be, okay? That's the teachable parts, as well as the parts that all have to do with, again, if we just look at the brain in general, where they are and how they don't know how to process and make those decisions just because they don't have the experience nor the brain development yet to do it, right? And that's kind of where we're doing this separation piece. So... we're out of time, but I want you guys just to look at that last page. And it kind of, this is just one that I found, that this cell phone contract, and it really does sum up a lot of great things that you guys all shared tonight. And you shared about how to really set it up for social media. That was what number 8 was the social media rules and how to make sure that you're covering it all, and they know these are the non-negotiables. You're going to have a cell phone, and this is what it's going to look like. And you can add and take away anything there that you want. Now, couple other comments. One thing that I've seen on some of the contracts, and people ask me a question that gets asked a lot is, do you let your kid buy their own phone? What are your thoughts about that?
As long as it's with the understanding that I still get to decide.
Yes, that's right. Exactly. Okay. And be careful, I'm just going to say, and I'm speaking out of, this is a true example here, a 17-year-old that was going to take their parent to court because of privacy, because it was his cell phone and he bought it. And so just know that, I mean, bring it. But truthfully, the idea is that you want, I mean, if you do, and you're trying to teach them responsibility, and that way that they'll take better care of it, or whatever that looks like, right? We know how that
they use
that
it less if they're paying for it.
That's right. Use it less. All those things are good. Just know that still in the contract, it has to say, we still, you know, we still get to decide because you live in this house, okay? So keep that in mind.
Well, and my son wanted to buy the $1,000 whatever iPhone from babysitting money, and I was like, no. I put a limitation on how much money up, even though it was his, that he could spend.
Yeah.
Because we're not going to, just because you have it doesn't mean you should.
Absolutely.
That's really good.
And buy some groceries. Any final questions or comments you guys want to make about all of this? Anything?
I will say that there, I want to leave with a couple benefits to cell phones. Because I think some people are scared to death, and I really like your comments, Steve. My freshman keeps track of all of his homework and is in direct communication with all of his teachers, thanks to the cell phone. And I don't have to intervene and regulate and figure that all out. He also has a babysitting business that he communicates directly with clients, and they text him, and I've been able to teach him, you don't wait a day to text back people. You text them back in clear sentences. And that kind of stuff. You know, but I really feel confident that, like, you can't prevent that. That is, I mean, I have to use my cell phone for work. I have to use my cell phone for so many things. And they are going to have to do that.
Absolutely.
And I am like, okay, I have to embrace that he needs a cell phone to be responsible for his life. And
that's
the best thing that I can do is teach him the tools on how to do that by modeling that to him and showing. So don't be afraid of cell phones, because it actually really gives them valuable things that we didn't have as teenagers.
And I will tell you also, it can also be, and I'm just telling you, because I've had parents that come in and they're like, absolutely not, we're not doing it, they'll never have when they get it, when they, you know, when they get out and start working or whatever that is. And I'm like, okay. But then it can be the best tool when I set consequence. Hello. I mean, I'm just, if you want to, if they have to know that they're, you know, these are all the responsible things I have to be doing and moving toward to be able to have this, then, I mean, it works. It works, okay? But I agree with you. And I do think that, again, you heard me say that earlier, they need to practice. Practice everything. Except cocaine. in your house, okay? So that you can monitor and help guide them. So I'm glad, yes, and I
thought
important, absolutely.
Yes, obviously, we can't control our kids 24/7 and what they're doing, and we can monitor their phone, but my fear, and yes, I'm afraid, that, you know, their friend is going to be like, hey, look at what's on my phone. How do you deal with that if you can't?
You talk about it early and often.
Yeah.
And you can put it in a contract where you just say, that's go back to the original contract of how you make good decisions, right? If you're with somebody and they're doing something, you know, that's not good decision making, you know, if you find out about it. So overall, it's a good point. Yeah. Thank you, guys.